Kaya Biz.
This is Kaya Biz
with Guletum Phuphi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya 959.
Josh Manuel's in for Gugu tonight until 8 o'clock. Well, looking at the inflation figures once again, hitting 5.9% for the third time in 5 months, with big hikes in fuel and food. Now, joining us to discuss this, the economist from Nedbank, Isaac Matseko, who is joining us via telephone. Hey, Isaac, welcome. Isaac?
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening. I'm looking at these figures, the annual consumer price inflation remaining unchanged at 5.9% in April this year, according to Stats SA. And this is the third time in 5 months that the rate has hit 5.9%, which is close to that Reserve Bank's upper target rate for inflation of 6%, right? And consumer inflation last breached 6%, if you recall, back in 2017. Your take?
Well, Mr. Manuzzi, unfortunately, this is not good news for the consumer, not only because the rate at which prices in the economy are increasing is high, but also because this trend will definitely prompt the South African Reserve Bank to hike interest rates further.
Right. And then on the other hand, you also hear of scares from not just here, South Africa, but outside about, you know, talks towards hyperinflation coming real soon.
Of course, there is that big concern. Remember that last week we got the news that India, which is the world's second largest exporter of wheat after Ukraine, has banned exports of wheat, and that has pushed wheat prices even higher. And of course, wheat and its product is a widely consumed commodity, I mean bread and the related goods. So prices of those goods will increase, and that could definitely put pressure on consumers. Of course, we are also worried about the trend in local fuel prices. It's not looking good at the moment, and just looking at the latest numbers, it's looking like there will get increases of at least 2 rand a liter on petrol. And this is even before taking into account the 150 fuel levy that is supposed to come back into effect on the 1st of June.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like there's any good news there, because now you have the supply inflation obviously pushing up the figures negatively, and being a consumer-driven economy, I mean, how does one really balance these times that we're facing right now?
Yes, that's a great question, because yes, the bank needs to strike a good balance between bringing inflation down and making sure that it does not remain very high, and of course ensuring that it does not slow down the economy quite significantly, because remember that higher interest rates basically mean that for those people who are paying debts out there, whether it's mortgages or car loans, they will start paying more, and that will simply mean that they can spend less on other goods, and spending less on other goods in the economy would definitely weaken domestic demand and overall economic growth. So it is a big challenge, but we will be watching very closely tomorrow what the Reserve Bank will say.
Any prediction? I'm putting you on the spot.
Well,
now.
Unfortunately, we can be assured that it is an increase tomorrow. It's a question of whether they're going to increase by a quarter of a percentage point or half a percentage point. And as Nedbank, we are unfortunately tilting towards the half a percentage point.
Yeah. All right. Isaac, now, you know, since I have this time with you, I'm just thinking I'm going to stretch you a little bit. Yes, we're looking at tomorrow's announcement. But beyond tomorrow, throughout the year, what do you see?
Well, beyond tomorrow, we still expect the South African Reserve Bank, for instance, when it meets in July, to increase further, because we must understand that the big driver of interest rates across the world is the Central Bank of the United States. And it has already indicated that it is going to hike its interest rates aggressively this year. So our Reserve Bank has to sort of keep pace because that helps to keep the rent stable. If the rent weakens a lot, we will be paying even more, unfortunately, for petrol and diesel, and that will keep our inflation high.
Yeah, right. Isaac Matsako, thank you very much for joining me right here on Kaya Biz. Really appreciate your input today.
It's my pleasure, Mr. Manias.
That's Isaac Matsako, who is economist at Nedbank, right here on Kaya Biz. Inflation is the word that's on our lips and on our minds right now. Very tricky economic cycle that we're looking at right here in South Africa. You know, especially because we also a global player, right? I mean, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, you check our exports and, man, it's quite tricky times. And, you know, to help us grapple and put our heads and our minds around this and see how we position ourselves, especially after suffering the onslaught of, you know, lockdowns thanks to COVID and just a negative business sentiment, if you will. Yeah, on the positive, there's been some recovery and we're quite optimistic because you have to be optimistic, right? So let's look at, you know, interest rates and where we might be going. And joining us to really explore this is economist from the Wits Business School, Professor Yanni Rousseau. And welcome, Professor.
Good evening, George. Thank you very much for your words of welcome, and good evening to your listeners.
Yeah, what's on our minds right now is obviously the South African interest rate, which could see the biggest hike since 2016 this week, right? I mean, we're expecting the 50 basis points some people are talking about. And, you know, your take, let's start off with you. How do you see things right now?
Yeah, at this point in time, South Africa's inflation rate is subdued just under the upper edge of the inflation target range at 5.9%. But there is the danger of further acceleration in inflation and of inflation expectations moving forward. And therefore, the Reserve Bank will respond with an interest rate increase.
Right, and not helping, obviously, are all these supply push inflationary costs that are obviously fitting into this whole picture. And yet, on the other hand, you have the consumer who's really struggling, not just with debts, but just the cost of living going up.
Yeah, indeed, consumers struggling. But we have to remember that whenever interest rates go up, it is beneficial to those people who have savings. People who get interest from, for instance, banks on their deposits. And those are typically older people, pensioners and the likes. So it is not as if they are only losers when interest rates go up. There are also people who get benefits from higher interest rates, as I've said, for instance, pensioners.
Yes, even though there is an argument, obviously, looking at the percentages of that, you know, higher age population that is going to benefit from this versus the majority of people who are still in that working class environment.
Yeah, of course. Small numbers of pensioners, big numbers of people of working age, and unfortunately also big numbers of unemployed people. South Africa has a massive unemployment crisis, as we know. But important to remember that there are always two sides to this equation. But the advice to consumers under these circumstances, of course, is to be careful before they add more commitments to what they already have. Consumers really have to think very carefully about what they buy, whether they need to buy everything that they want to buy, what do they need to buy, and what can they do without and to see how they can contain their debt.
And the Russia-Ukraine war is certainly not helping either in this whole scenario, right?
Yes, the Russian-Ukrainian war not helping, as you've said. And of course, the Russian-Ukrainian war leading to much higher inflation in some of the developed economies. Like the inflation rate in the U.S. is now over 8% per annum, the highest level in 40 years. In their case, the Federal Reserve Bank will have to increase interest rates to contain inflation expectations. So it is suddenly a different international inflation environment. In South Africa was at the higher spectrum of inflation rates of middle income and developed countries, say, 2 years ago. We are now at the lower spectrum of the inflation picture.
Professor Rousseau, you know, there's a question that I've always wondered about, and perhaps you can help me come out of the woods regarding this one. When you look globally, you look at the likes of, you know, whether it's the UK or the US, and you look at their inflation rates and also their interest rates, they're significantly lower. One can't help to wonder, how come South Africa, for all these years that I've been aware of this, we seem to be much higher in these figures regarding inflation and interest rates in relation to, let's say, the US?
In the US, to use that example, the Federal Reserve managed to get inflation under control in the 1980s and managed to keep inflation under control since the 1980s. The average inflation rate in the U.S. over the past four decades, probably something like 3% per annum. If you have such low inflation, you have scope for lower interest rates. In South Africa, since 2000, the average inflation rate is probably about 5.5 or 5.6% per annum. And with such a higher inflation environment, they have to have higher interest rates to contain inflation, but also very important to contain inflation expectations.
Right. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Thank you for helping me with that one. Now, we also have another pressure typically going towards, you know, mid-year here in South Africa, wage pressure, right? Wage negotiations currently include the above inflation wage demand. This is in both the private and public sector. Higher settlements are not matched by productivity gains, and, you know, inflation is key right here. How do you see things panning out?
And you're quite right, George, in saying that we have wage settlements that are not met with productivity gains. The result would be higher inflation. In addition, in South Africa, we have a serious unemployment problem. And one would think that with a large group of unemployed people, there would be lower wage settlements, and that South Africans with jobs would be grateful for the jobs that they have, and we do everything in their power to protect and keep their jobs. So from that perspective, I do not understand the high wage settlement demands. But I must say the civil service, their wage demands, is just completely unacceptable because the South African government has run out of money. It's obvious that we are facing a fiscal cliff. The South African government simply does not have the money to pay those wage settlements. It would be a very bad idea for the government to borrow money to pay the wages of civil servants, because if the government borrows, interest must be paid on such borrowing, and the borrowed amounts must be repaid in due course.
And then you have the private sector as well, which has been struggling a lot, given the environment following, you know, the pandemic outbreak. And, you know, profitability is like, this is survival time.
Yes, I do agree. And I would plead, however, in the private sector, that chief executive officers of companies should also understand that restraint in respect of their own remuneration is really necessary at this point in time. We cannot have exorbitant salaries, remuneration, for chief executives, even of big and listed companies, when we plead restraint from all other South Africans. It is a bad example. It's not an example that we should have in South Africa if those CEOs can't exercise restraint. I have a reasonable expectation that the remuneration committees of those companies should rein in CEO remuneration.
As an observer, though, how do you see then, given all that you've just said, which obviously is an appeal to conscience for different players in these sectors, how do you then still see the whole negotiation game playing out? Do you think there will be a bit of a shift in outlook and mindset?
Well, at this point, it is really a game of who's going to blink first, the employers or the employees. Some of these employees have been on strike for quite a while now. We know from previous examples that we employees go on strike for quite a period of time. Inevitably, when they get the wage adjustment and start working again, it will take them months or even years to make up the shortfall for the income missed during the strike. So a strike is not in the interest of the country, not in the interest of production. It's, of course, not in the interest of the workers themselves.
Yeah. And back to the Reserve Bank in closing, your take on what's your prediction? What do you think is going to be the figure that the Reserve Bank is gunning for?
Rates will go up. My current prediction is still 25 basis points rather than 50 basis points.
Well, there you are. Thank you very much, Professor, for joining us right here on Kaya Biz. Appreciate you.
Thank you, George.
That's Professor Yanni Rousseau, who is the economist from the Wits Business School. Yeah, what a perspective. And, you got to be realistic about the environment that we find ourselves in. Yeah, a big question is just that, mindset shift. Who's going to blink first? Very interesting times that we're facing right here at Mzansi.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.